Again, Medical Education Podcast listeners, this is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, with the pleasure today of speaking with a colleague from Botswana, specifically the University of Botswana Faculty of Medicine, Masego Kabetsi, who's an instructional designer and lecturer in the medical education department at that school. And she, along with her colleagues, have a paper coming out in the March issue of Medical Education 2018, called Learning Support Interventions for First-Year Medical Students, a Review of the Literature. Thanks, Masego, for taking the time to chat.
Thank you very much. It is my pleasure.
This is a particularly busy time of year for you, or at least time of life for you, maybe, given that I understand your medical school is relatively new and you're going through accreditation and curriculum review and a number of other things. Why was this topic of learning support so critical at such an early stage for a brand new medical school?
I think what happened probably in the third year or so, some of the faculty members who were here, for example, Mike Kebayetso, who's one of the authors, Mpo Mohudi, who's another author, and I think Watlhokwa Nkomazana, they were concerned about student output in terms of writing. So what was happening at the time was that our students were required to have a weekly reflection. And maybe I should just mention that we're a PBL curriculum. So this weekly reflection was supposed to be where they integrated learning for the whole week, looking at all the different learning experiences for the week, be it clinical placement, be it PBL sessions, be it self-directed learning sessions or plenaries or workshops. So they were supposed to look at all the learning for the week and then come up with this learning reflection. So they were concerned about the writing from, at least initially, what they thought was weak writing in terms of these weekly reflections. So at the time, there was another colleague who was in another department at the university, who was a writing expert, who was then engaged to come and kind of help us look at how can we improve the writing, how can we, all this stuff. But in the middle of that process, we started to think and we started to say, could it maybe not be writing? Could it be that there's something else that is manifesting as a writing challenge? So we started this journey of starting to look at learning challenges in medical education, particularly for undergraduate medical students, because that's what we are. We were looking at, could it be that there are some challenges with writing in the PBL program that maybe we're not aware of as a new medical school? So this is how it all started. But somewhere there, as we started to look at the literature, we started to think, maybe really writing is not as important as, I mean, not that it's not important, but that it may be that there are other things that are going on. So we thought, well, we can't go to our colleagues and say our students are having problems and not having empirical evidence. So we decided to conduct a qualitative study in which we really just wanted to explore and ask our students what's going on, what do you see, what are the challenges, what are those challenges. So we started to do that and we conducted in-depth interviews with, I think, 23 students and then with 5 of the 6 PBL facilitators. Normally, our intake is about at 50, so we usually have 6 PBL groups.
Before we get into those details of what you looked at with this particular review, with that interview study, you're speaking to a broadening of focus from this writing issue to learning support more generally. It makes me feel a need to ask you to clarify, how are you defining learning support interventions, given the breadth of things that could be captured by that phrase? What were the boundaries that you drew around it?
Oh, well, I think in this particular case, we were looking at interventions for primarily for first-year medical students. We were looking at programs that were targeted at helping students with the various challenges that they were having. When we conducted that study, is when we started to see the challenges that they were having, we went back to the literature to say, how are people intervening in terms of their students? So we went, that's when we decided to conduct the review to say, okay, we know that students are having challenges, but what are people doing with those challenges? And so we were looking at, one, it had to be a program that was targeted at first-year students or students who are beginning to enter first year. So most of the time it was programs that looked at different things. For example, it could be helping with writing, it could be helping with reading comprehension or biology. So we just wanted to see what are people doing with first-year medical students in terms of learning support. So we found that there were interventions that came prior to students failing. We found that there were interventions that were because students were a certain population that was considered at risk. But we also found, I think this was from work that was done by Sanders and his team, where we found this whole idea of a developmental approach to student learning support, which was very appealing to us because generally we take students excelling in the general science program. And so we thought we needed to kind of really look closely at this idea of intervening early on with all students, regardless of whether students are failing or not.
So this isn't remediation necessarily, this is any intervention to try to help students. But how is that separate from just offering a curriculum? What is it that makes it a learning support intervention as opposed to just part of your teaching strategy?
I think it is the intentionality of it. I believe that's what makes it different. Because clearly we were teaching our students and clearly they were having these deficits where they didn't know what to do with this humongous amount of information, where we were observing that a lot of their learning was somewhat shallow, I mean, in terms of what they were bringing about. So clearly, when we looked at our own, I think the reason why I was trying to tie this to the study that we did, when we looked at our own students and we looked at what was in the literature, we were seeing the same patterns of students who are bombarded by a whole lot of information, students who don't necessarily have the self-direction skills when they come to medical school. They were learning in a very teacher-centered environment before. They were doing okay. Now they're coming to this environment where now they have to take more responsibility for their learning. And the amount of knowledge requires that they really have strong skills in terms of learning skills to really manage the information, to make sure that they're integrating learning from the different learning, what is it, what I want to use, from the planaries, from this, and also just from the fact that some of it is biochemistry, some of it is anatomy, some of it is this, but it's all integrated. And somehow they were not integrating that. So we felt that there was need to be intentional about providing them with those skills because clearly they were not bringing them by default to the program. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Yeah, that's quite helpful. Actually, it leads me to think that these are learning interventions because they're things that have been developed because of an identified deficit, just not necessarily for a particular individual. So remediation usually oriented around how particular individuals identify challenges. But it's a very broad concept. And so I wonder if I could ask you to speak for a moment about how you went about conducting a literature review for something that's so broad, and if there were particular challenges that you encountered in trying to capture the literature that you were looking for.
You know, what we did was we sought the help of the librarians.
Good start.
Because it's true. We could have gone in many directions. So what we did was we sat down with two of our librarians, our medical librarians. We sat down with them and we said, this is what we've been seeing. We are really looking to see what are people doing in terms of intervention? What are people doing to support their medical students? And so they sat down with us and said, you have to have such strategy. And actually, it's funny because I think we had done a preliminary research somewhere there in 2014 or so. And so we found that remediation was the word that was coming up a lot. So then we had to start thinking, okay, it could be remediation, but what else could it be? They helped us sit down with a very thorough search strategy. So we were able to kind of capture quite a bit of the literature. But we were also narrow in that we were only focused on first year or pre-first year. So that kind of helped us contain our literature a bit. But yes, the librarians helped us kind of sit down and really develop a comprehensive search strategy.
Yeah, so we'll now bring us back to what you were starting to say about your findings and the model that emerged. Having gone through that effort, can you describe the framework that you generated for our listeners so they have some better understanding of the key messages that came out of your review?
Yes, so we conducted our review, and we sat down and reflected on our results. We came up with some kind of way of thinking about supporting the first year. And we thought, based on the literature and also our experience, that support should be for all students. So I think this one, we borrowed a lot from Sanders Webb when they talk about developmental support. So we are saying for undergraduate medical students, we have to be cognizant of the fact that they are developing as adults. One, so there's this whole dynamic of them transitioning into adulthood. Secondly, the fact that they're transitioning from a teacher-centered to a learner-centered environment. And I think this one is out there in learner-centered literature. The fact that students don't always bring skills to the learner-centered environment. And so we felt that it was necessary to give every student the needed building blocks for success. And they would encompass both academic skills and life skills. You know, if you look at self-directed learning literature, more like the self-management kind of things. So the managing time, the managing stress, the kind of self-management kind of thing. So that would be every student. I think Sanders and team call it a developmental approach. So we thought that was very important. And then we thought, okay, so then we should also look closely at students who are at risk. So for example, after the first test, we have to look closely at students who are underperforming and then have small group remediation. So that's when we start talking about remediation. That's when we're saying, okay, if student didn't perform well, then we should find a way to remediate. And maybe initially we could remediate as a group. So if they are not doing well in this particular content area, then maybe we can remediate them as a group. But then we have to also be closely looking and saying, but are there students who need individual remediation? And so particular attention needs to be paid to those students. And then we also thought there's need for an exit strategy. So sometimes we found that, and I think this one was just maybe reading around more so than reading exactly from the set of papers in the review per se, in that sometimes, you know, when students really can't cope or need to go, we found that we didn't have a system in place to enable students to provide the right kind of support to the students who need to exit. So we felt that those four elements needed to be part of our learning support for the first year. And we thought this idea of an approach that includes both personal development staff and the academic staff was kind of important. And I think that one comes out of other studies that we looked at. I mean, as academics, we could be tempted to say, no, let's give them more anatomy, you know, or let's drill them more in biochemistry. Mm-hmm. But understanding that if they have poor self-harming study skills, that is going to affect outcome in anatomy. And we also found, I think it was in two of the studies, I think this is Winston's work, when you just improved sometimes their learning strategies and their self-management strategies, the learning improved. So I think those studies especially are the ones that really influenced us greatly into considering this idea that whatever approach we take, it had to include not just the content, but it also had to look at our learning skills. It had to look at self-management skills as part of the menu.
And so your framing of it is very appealing, in, not only in terms of the content, but the deliberateness of the approach that you're taking. And that leads me to want to ask one final question, which is really about the insight you have for others who might be interested in conducting work like this. Now, I don't mean specifically about learning interventions, but we don't get very many papers from Botswana, for example. And I know you're undergoing a new curriculum and accreditation and review. How do you advise other people who aren't in areas that are well represented within medical education? How do you advise them in terms of enabling time and expertise and resources to conduct work like this?
Well, you know, it was a very eye-opening moment for me when we did this work, because I think sometimes we overlook the skills that we have in our own universities, honestly. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, we found our librarians to be very resourceful. And I mean, as we heard in the introduction, I'm an educationist, I'm not a medical doctor, and our librarians are not either. But they understand information. They understand how to source information and how to search for it and how to do that. But other than that, we also just, you know, we just read. And for example, we looked at some of your work about how to conduct non-systematic reviews. Actually, when I talk about sometimes we have to look inside ourselves and see what other skills are there. One of our young doctors who is a public health specialist, he's the one who actually conducted a workshop on how to conduct reviews. So after he conducted that workshop, I know for me, I was very emboldened. And I said to my peers, I said, you know, we ought to give this a try. But it was just, you know, looking inside our university and then looking in terms of human power for what people could know and what people knew. And then also just looking out in the literature and just saying, oh, what are people saying about this? And then looking at samples from the literature. Dr. Cleland's work on learning support, when we wanted to bring this to medical education and thought, looked at how they conducted their review. But overall, I think it's just what we already know as academics, that in order for us to write and reflect and do our work, we just have to be persistent and we just have to do it one piece at a time and just look inside of your university and see who knows what that could help you. So for us, our librarians were just, they helped us. I mean, the idea of a search strategy and looking for synonyms and, you know, looking at other papers to see what other people could be calling the same term that you are using or concept that you are using, that was just like an eye-opener. I mean, we think that we've been writing and reading all this time, but it's just the structure that they taught us was just like, wow, okay, so this is doable.
Yeah, that's all very great advice. I think it's actually the best note for us to end on. There are a lot of details in the paper, obviously, that we didn't get to. And for those, I'm going to direct people back to the March 2018 issue of Medical Education. And we'll just remind them that I've been speaking with Masego Kabeyesi, who is the first author on a paper entitled Learning Support Interventions for First-Year Medical Students, a Review of the Literature. Congratulations, Masego, on undertaking such an impressive and an important piece of work, given all else that you have going on, and I'm happy to hear about all the successes that you're having in Botswana.
Thank you very much. This was a pleasure. Thank you very much.